So this is the continuation of chapter 4, Mishnah 7. Himlech ois gimel, he enthroned the letter gimel, v'kosha loy keser, and tied it a crown, v'tzar von zem zeh, and mixed them together, v'tzar boy, and with the letter gimel, he fashioned chama b'olam, the sun in olam, v'sheni b'shabes b'shona, and Monday in the year, v'af yamin, and the right nostril b'nefesh. So last week we were saying that the letter Gimel is connected with Yocheved, who comes to do the fixing of Adam and Chava, and we know that the angel Samuel came and riding on a Gamel, on a Gimel. And so it's appropriate that this should be connected with her and her fixing. And then also associated with Yocheved is Chama Ba'olam, the sun in Olam. And we learn, this is note 55, Issa b'zoyah kudosh, the Pasuk says in Malachi, v'zaruchu lechem yireshmi, and it will shine for you those who fear my name, shemesh tzodko umar pebichnofeho, as a kindly sun, a charitable sun, umar pebichnofeho, that will be healing, that will heal with its wings. Tochazi, the Zohar Kodesh says, come and look. Zamin kitshbrichi lenaru loin Yisro, God prepares this to shine for the Yidden. Hahi shimsha, this very sun, degonis kitshbrichi miyem deisbir alma, that sunlight that God has hidden away since the creation of the world. Degonis kitshbrichi mikam erishia de alma, that God had to hide it because it was so precious. And, you know, we learn that from the very first pasuk where it says, Vayom lekim yihi oir, God said, let there be light. Vayehi oir. And there was light. So, the Gemara says already, you see, as soon as it was created, it was already in the past. Because it was too precious. That original light was too precious to be used because you could see from one end of the world to the other with it. It was what we would call definitely a supernatural light. So immediately the Torah tells us, Vayehi, and it was already in the past because it's no longer there. So the Zohar Kodesh says, so God brings this sunlight and heals with it. It says in the book of Job, and God withholds from the wicked their light. And this is the light that God put away, Dekad Nofik, Bekad Misa, because when it came out in the beginning, it was shining from one end of the world to the other, meaning that it crossed, it was light that moves faster than the speed of light. And when God saw that the generations of Enosh would begin to objectify God, as we talked about last week, Bidore de Mabul and the generation of the flood, Bidore de Haflog and the generation of those who were going to build the Tower of Bavel, B'chol Inu Chayve and all these wicked people, Gonis Leilahu Nohiris, so God hid the light. Kivend Ose Yaakov, Bizdabi Bahu, Memal Ravrav de Esav, and Yaakov comes along and he fights that angel of Esav, and he struggles, and the angel, he touched the thigh of Yaakov, who then was limping because of his sinew. Kidein machsiv, what does it say? Vayizrach le'ashemesh, and the sun shone for him. Man shemesh, what sun? Hahi shimsho degonis, we're talking about that very sun that God had hidden. Begin the ispe asvisa la stole ma'arkufte, because that sunlight contains the balm, the healing that could heal Jacob from his wound. Ulubosa itse bahu shimshe, then Yaakov was healed by that sunlight. Tichsiv vayokov viyova Yaakov sholem, Yaakov comes whole. Sholem begufa, he comes whole in his body. Sholem b'mamayna, like the Gemara says, he came, when he arrived where he was going, he was whole again, and he was no longer limping because he had been healed by that sunlight. And God is going once again to reveal this sunlight for the Yidden, Dechsiv, as it is written, and the sun was going to shine for you, Shemesh Tzadko, this healing sun. My Shem Yisodku. Doshim Shede Yaakov De Itzebe. This is the... I can't remember if the vowel is Tzodku or Tzodku. This is the sunlight that healed for Yaakov. Marpe Bichnofeho. And it heals with its wings. The Bahu Shimsho Yitzin Kule. Because with that sunlight that God is going to reveal, everybody will be healed. Begin. Because when the time comes for the Eden to rise again from the dust, how many lame Yidelach are they going to be? How many blind Yidden are they going to be? Okay, then, and so, God is going to shine that sunlight to heal everybody. Because it heals with its wings. And so once again, that kind of light, that sunlight, that original light, is going to shine from one end of the world to the other. For the Eden, it will be healing. And those nations of the world who worship stars and constellations and so on, they will be burned in that very same sunlight that we are healed. But for the Eden, it's not going to burn. Then will dawn, will break out like the dawn, your light. And your ways will open up. And your charity will walk in front of you. And God's glory will gather you. So, what the reason I bring this is because we see from here that Chama, that the sun, that the original sun is a healing sun. It's not a, it doesn't burn. And healing, all healing has to do with the past. And so that's why this sunlight is associated with the Monday, because Monday has Shabbos in the past. It's still among those days where Shabbos belongs in the past and therefore is Chesed. So we are on note 56. Sheni b'Shabbos b'shono. Chamo b'chinas choim. So why is it called Chamo, the sun? Because it has the heat. Habo min ha'or, which comes from the fire. V'loi ho'or atzma. And so the sun isn't really the source of the light that we're talking about, the original light. It's a product. So now we move to Mishnah Ches. We're on page 32. Psiche l'Mishnah Ches, the preface to the 8th Mishnah. Ba'acha kach, and afterwards comes Ois Dalet. Umekoima, and its position is situated, the Dalet b'nesiv, on the pathway, asher bein Sfiras Bina l'Sfiras Gevura. If you imagine the tree of the Sefirois, you have the right-hand side, you have Chochmah, the top of the line underneath it, Chesed. On the left-hand side, you have Gevura, Bina, and underneath it, Gevura. In the middle, you have at the top, Keser, underneath it, Tiferes, and Yisoid the Malchus. So, the letter Dalet is situated between Bina and Gevura. V'zois b'chinas Rus ha-moyavir. And as we'll be seeing, this particular pathway between Bina and Gevura is connected, is associated with Ruth. We learn in the writings of the Ari, all the holy souls that belong in the house of King David, the royal house, Adam Mashiach, all the way from David to Mashiach, kulam hoyu klulois berus kenoida. All of them were already there inside Ruth. The kulam is arvu beklipois, and all of them, these souls, they were lost in the husks. V'lo nisbaru misham, and they couldn't separate. Achin is gairu Rus, until Ruth became Jewish. Ubaho yukludos kulam, and in her they were all there. So Ruth, as we're going to read later, Ruth is a descendant. She's a princess of Moab. She's the daughter of Eglon Melech Moab. And he is a direct descendant, father to son, from Lot, the nephew of Yaakov. We know that Lot, he got shikar, his daughters got him drunk, and he slept with his daughters, and She had, the oldest one, she has a son, she calls him Moyav. Moyav from my father. So this woman, she contains within her something so holy that is caught up among the Moabites. And it's something that has come through Lot, obviously. And it struggles to express itself without success until Ruth joins us, joins the Jewish people, and then it floods out of her in basically in her seed, in her children. And her grandson is King David, her great-grandson is King Solomon, and her great-great-great-great-grandson is Mashiach Tzidkenu. This genius is stuck and caught up in the uncleanness, and it can't separate itself, though it desperately tries. Venerely Levi, Katsas Inyan Zer. So, in order to explain it a little, and to understand Echnis Arva Neshumas Beklipo, how did they get caught up Bechet Shel Adam Arishon, in the sin of Adam Arishon? Avar Koidim Inyan Amisa Klal. So first of all, I'm going to do a little explaining what is death and what is life. Yudum Hem Diver Rav Rabin Simcha Bunim Pshischa. The Rebbe Rabunim has a well-known Torah. Binyan Gadlis Adam Arishon Koidim Achet, concerning the greatness of Adam before the sin. V'zeh L'shoinu. So, this is what he says. U'mikoidim Achet, Toyo Adam Mizboinim B'chol Eisu B'chol Rega. Before he sinned, what did Adam do? Before he sinned, Adam was in a state of purest contemplation. V'hoye Hisyachdus HaChochme B'nefesh. So, Adam Arishon was not like us, because Adam Arishon could be in a state of perfect meditation and contemplation. Shekol chelkei hanefesh, every part of his mind, all the mind, hayu mizboinenim b'chochmas Hashem yiz'ale, all of them were focused on the greatness of God. So, Adam Arishon, can you imagine if you could really understand how you work? You know, you're not aware of your liver function unless you get a little liverish, right? But otherwise, you're not aware of how your body is, you know, in your brain somewhere. There's obviously some kind of an office that deals with liver function and monitors the levels of the chemicals that are being produced, and if not enough of this is being made, then it sends a signal somehow to increase production of this. You know, that's just like the liver. Then there's the heart. Something is controlling your heartbeat, saying how fast it should be beating, how much pulse, how much pressure the blood should be under, and so on. And it's just the blood. Think of all the things that are going on from, you know, then you've got all your glands, right? You've got your whole endocrine system and you know, glands that turn on and turn off. And then think down at the lower level, you've got genes, oncogenes, things that are switching on genes and switching off genes, and you've got genes that control and monitor other genes. Imagine you could be aware. Imagine you could mamish, like, sit at a central processor, right? And you could be in the machine that you are and know everything that's going on and understand the greatness, the godless habora, at a cellular level, to know how great is God who makes you moment by moment. That was the greatness of Adam Harishon. That's who he was. That's who we are meant to be. We are meant to be people who know what we are. The thing is, V'nimtza, Rebbunim says, Shigam yediyah loy hoye loy. But Adam didn't know, right? Because he never stood outside himself. He stood inside himself. So he was aware of everything that was going on with him, except for him. Right? There wasn't that self that stands outside the self and watches the self, right? There was only the self that is inside the self that is aware of everything that is happening, right? That's who Adam was. Ki kol atzmus ha-nefesh, because all of the awareness and the focus of consciousness of Adam Arishon, who yemin lubish bizboinenes hazeh b'chol eitz v'rega, he was watching God all the time. When I say he was watching God, he was watching life. And even when Adam looked out of his eyes and he looked at the world, I mean, he saw obviously a garden with trees and grass and flowers and water and clouds and sky, and he smelled everything what was going on, but it still, it was with the same sort of awareness of the unbelievable brilliance and majesty of everything that he was and that he was part of. So Adam Arishon was completely, totally wrapped up in the greatness, in the chokhmah of his creator. That's what Rebbe Rebunim says. Ubesefer Ramasayim Tzoyfem, and one of the Talmidim, one of the students of the Rebbe Rebunim, after the Rebbe Rebunim passed away, he collected sayings that he heard from the Rebbe Rebunim's students, who were themselves the Rebbes, like the Ishbitzer, the Kotzke, the Vurke, the Alexander Rebbe, and so many other Rebbes, and he wrote it in a book, and he brought it actually as a commentary to the Medrash Tana de Beis Yoel. So there he explains a little bit what his Rebbe meant, and he says like this: Lefi shekoydem acher toyotam edovik b'hasugas elikus kol kach, before he sinned, Adam was so caught up in his awareness, his grasp of the divine, that he was not aware that he is the person with the grasp, with the thought. He was not aware of himself as a thinker, even though he was the most brilliant thinker. And it was incessant. I mean, when he was asleep, he was sleeping, and when he was awake, he was awake, and all the time there was this complete awareness. Nimtza, v'chol chiyusoy v'chushav, and all his life force and all his senses, everything hoya melubish b'zeh tomet b'lihafsik, it was wrapped up in this awareness all the time. V'chol avodas tzadikim, and the Ramasayim Tzoyfim says, and all the worship and the work that the tzaddik puts into his life, is lahagia lezeh madrega koponim ezes man, is to, for one moment at least, to get to that place where we lose that awareness of self and just become totally aware of God. V'nimtza. So it comes out, zeh madrega hoya be'emes midas ein. When we talk about a person needs to let go of the ego, right? We need to get past our own ego. We need to get to that madrega, that level that we call ein, of nothing. That's what we mean. We mean that awareness of God where there is no self. And yet, it's completely self. It's only about self. But within myself, everywhere I look, I see God, right? V'achar achet nofal mizeh. After his sin, Adam fell from this level. V'hirgishu masig, and he became aware that he was aware. He realized that he had a grasp of the divine. V'zeh pirush ke'echot mimenu. And this is the meaning of the verse where God says, oh, now Adam has become like one of us. Kimikoidem hoya echad mamish, because prior to the eating of the tree of knowledge, he was one. But now he's like one. Because now he's like two. He's not really one anymore. So this is how the Ramasayim Tzoyfim explains his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rebunim. V'ho inyan hu, this is me speaking. Shal Adam Arishon koidem achet, that Adam, before he sinned, lo yhoye yodeya shehu yodeya, he didn't know that he knows. Ushiyesh musak shelidiya, he didn't know that there is such a concept as knowing. Ushiyef sheledas klal, he didn't know what knowledge was. Ki hoye oid nechlo b'chochme lo b'chinas ein, because he was still included within that supernal chochme, the sphere of chochme, which is the ein. B'chinas v'hu be'echad daichi, he was in the one. V'ach rachet, now after the sin, Mizeh hatfuna shu yudeh shu mizboinen. He was forced to know that he's thinking about knowing that he thinks. Bechenes vohoye ke'echot daike bekafa dimyon. He's not going to be like one, but he's never going to be one again. Vezeh shom Rebbe Rebunim. And so this is what the Rebunim then says. Va'ato, now, pen yishlach yodoy ve'ochel gam eitz hachayim. God says, now, we have to be careful lest he also eat from the tree of knowledge, from the tree of life. Pirish, eitz hachayim hu hatofel elav. The Rebbe Rebunim explained, what is God saying? Oh, now, maybe he's going to eat from the tree of life, so? God doesn't really explain in the text what's wrong with Adam eating from the tree of life, right? But the Rebunim says, yeah, the text does say, because it says, V'ochal gam me'etz hadas. He'll eat also from the tree of life. Shetia harochnius lo'olam rak b'b'chinas gam. Because Adam is now in a new place where the awareness of self is the primal awareness. The watching, the focus, the consciousness, the awareness of self is the overriding awareness. And so therefore now, when Adam Arishan tries to do something spiritual, like eat from the tree of life, it's also, he'll do it also. Loshen ha-tofu v'loho ikka. And the also, the expression of also, is making it, you know, listing the priorities, and the priorities are not ruchnis, are not spiritual, but physical. But he's prepared to eat also from the tree of life. So, be'im yichye ha'odam, if a person will live forever, la'olam, and never die, la'yachse af pam la'oise madrege shel ein shuhu be'echot. He'll never get back to that place again of being in the Ein, of being part of the nothing, of the no awareness of self, but the awareness of everything. Bechinas boinus bili, bechinas yeshus va'atmas, to be in that meditative state where the ego has gone, where the self is no longer the center, but life itself has become the center. Because if a person knows that he's in the Sefira of Das, is in the knowing, that he is an intelligence with existence, then he can no longer reach that level, as will be explained, that he be relieved completely of the burden of self. Kidivre Meir Shiloach, the Meir Shiloach says, Ki be'emes ma'ho odom u'mayuchol lifo b'sichloi. In the next Mishnah, we're going to be talking about this at length. The Meir Shiloach says, the truth, to speak frankly, what's a person, and what could they possibly achieve with their intellect? Let's face it, we're a very limited creature, right? Aval ma she'yaseh b'tivoi. But when a person is acting on instinct, Zehu koyach Hashem ashboy, then if I'm not acting with my limited intellect, but if I'm acting with the natural flow of my body and my mind, then I'm actually acting with the power of the divine that is in me. V'zeh shehisig ben zoyme hevdol godol, and this was the problem with ben zoyme. We were learning that four entered paradise and ben zoyme was damaged and he went mad, and they found out what his madness was, and he saw a great split between the waters above the heaven and the waters below the heaven. So the Meir Shiloach explains, be'emes la'osid, in the future, kashi yivare Hashem ki hakol me'itri, when God shows that everything is from him. You know, one of the things that we just said previously is in the previous Mishnah is that the Chama, the sun, has the ability to see from the end of the world. The light of the sun gives us the ability to see from one end of the world to the other, right? Which means that we have the ability to see from one end of time to the other. If you could see from one end of time to the other, meaning that you could see the connection between every event at every level, even in just in your own life, never mind in everybody else's life, if you could see how you are a product of your parents' love and so on, and they are the and their lives before them and so on, all the way back in time and all the way to the end of time in the way that your actions are going to affect the world after you, then you would see there was never a split between the waters above the heaven, the waters below the heaven, meaning between the desire that is for God and all the other desires that we have, that they're all connected. Ad kan einsha. So this is as much as I wanted to quote from the Meher Shiloyach. Ki acha hachet. Because after the sin, nishlovu shtei bechinas oineg v'nega babas achas. Now the two levels of oineg and nega, which we learned about in the second perek, there's nothing as high as pleasure, there's nothing as low as pain, oineg and nega. But now the two have become mixed up. V'i efshel hafridam. And you can no longer separate pain from pleasure. You can no longer separate the good from the bad. You can no longer, even sometimes, you can no longer distinguish between the good and the bad because everything is so mixed up. You know, I think one of the differences between our Jewish idea of Gan Eden and so on, or the Jewish idea of sin and good and evil compared to others, that we're not afraid of evil, and we're not afraid of evil in its place. Everything has its place. The problem that Adam HaRishon, the problem that eating from the tree of knowledge has brought, is not, it didn't create evil in the world. It didn't make evil. The problem is that now everything has become so mixed up. You can't really sort out in your own action. You can take the best thing that you do and you could dissect it and analyze it, and you'll find there's some self, some ego, some self-serving, you know, there's a payoff even for the most noble thing that you did, right? And you know, if you take the worst thing that you ever did and look in and examine it, you know, you could find something good in it, right? Because if there wasn't something good in it, you wouldn't have done it, right? So the problem with the world is not that we have good and evil. We were supposed to have good and evil. The problem with the world is that we can no longer distinguish and separate good from evil. And ki le'olam yovin v'yeda ha'odam shu betanik. Why? Because a person always knows that he's in pleasure. V'his bo'inanusa b'achdusa yizborach. Even when a person is meditating on God, there is that person that watches me inside, watching myself in the worship of God. And that knowledge of myself while I am in knowledge of God, that is really, really damaging. That wounds and that really reduces my ability to become who I really am. I can never reach that level of ein. To let go of how I'm feeling, to let go of my pleasure, or to let go of myself. If a person knows that they're feeling pleasure, while I'm feeling pleasure, then there's still a very heavy curtain dividing the waters above from the waters below. And when a person has the self that we talk about in the modern sense, if a person is aware that he is an individual, a unique, separate being, then he's not reached the level of Ein, the level of Chokh. This is the evil in the tree of knowledge. The only way to be released from this burden of self, from this prison of self-awareness, from the knowing, the only way to be released is with death, with the death of the body. Behave misa k'moy tikkun. So death is a release, it's not a punishment, it's a fixing. Ki al yidei misa, because by dying, yochel adam lachsel his boinen esahi, a person can get back to that awareness. The problem is that I no longer have the awareness of my body on a cellular level. I can't feel, you know, all the things. But my hisboinenness, my meditation, my contemplation can get back to that place. Ukshiyov Mashiach, we talk about the coming of the Messiah. We say Timale Kol Oretz Deas Hashem, the world will be filled with knowledge of God. Shetiyah Hispashtus Hadas Boivin Shetaletazik, because then the knowing will spread in a way that is not damaging. V'zeh Pirish David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, when we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, David King of Israel is living and he exists. Why? She'ein bo b'chinas misa. Because in David there is no real death. She'metukin chet Adam Horishin alidei David HaMelech, because Adam Horishin, his sin, the sin of Adam, is fixed through David. You know, the Medrash says that when Adam looked down through time and he saw what he had done and what he'd spoiled and what he'd lost, and he saw the soul of David HaMelech, and he said, this person can be the beginning of the fixing, right? But David HaMelech didn't have any years. He was there inside Adam HaRishon, you know, because Adam HaRishon could look inside himself and see on a cellular level who he is. And he said, this soul has to be born. But he didn't have years. So Adam gave 70 of his years. So Adam was supposed to have lived 1,000. He lives 930. In the 70, David takes. But of course, David never really has a life, right? Because you could have 70 years, but he couldn't have a life. He mamish had no life, because he really wasn't destined to have a life, right? So he was given 70 years by Adam, but they were ersatz years, borrowed years, given years. They were not David's years, right? When are David's years? Well, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. At a certain level, David is Adam HaRishon, as Adam HaRishon might have been. David HaMelech was really in his body, right? So Adam, in a sense, he has no life, but he also has no death. Shemashiach yeloi shnei amadregois bilti hesik rega, because Mashiach is the person who manages to get past himself. And he manages to be himself and also to be human, and to be in that place where he's aware of life. Shuhumidas ein, he reaches that place which we call ein, the nothing. And Mashiach will show us, through example, how to connect the upper world and the lower world without a break. We learn in the Medrash, Omer Reb Shmuel by Yitzchak says, God looked at the 6 days, says, V'hinei toiv ma'oid. God looked at the world, the creation that he'd made, and behold, toiv ma'oid, it's very good. So Reb Shmuel by Yitzchak says, toiv, ze malach ha'chayim. Toiv, good, is the angel of life. Toiv ma'oid, very good, ze malach ha'moves. This is the angel of death. So, when God looks at the world and it's good, that's life. When God looks at the world and there's death, that's very good, right? Now we can understand. Boaz says to Ruth, and it will be in the morning, im yigolech, toiv yigol. If he redeems you, good, he'll redeem you. And if he doesn't want to redeem you, then I will redeem you by the living God. So The question is, Shoyle Loime Rak Im Yigolech Yigol. If he redeems you, he redeems you. Why does he say, Im Yigolech Toiv Yigol? If he redeems you good, he redeems. Ki Yoda Boyaz, because Boyaz knew, Shedvorim Oimdim Berumoy Shel Oilam, the Medrash says that Boyaz was already 400 years old. He was one of those who knew Moshe Rabbeinu. He was one of the original soldiers who conquered the land. And he knew that his meeting with Rus is a pivotal point in the history of the world. Shetmunim berus ha-moyavio kol ha-neshomois v'ha-netzoitzes she-yecholim nesakin ha-oilam ad shibul ha-movis le-netzach, because he could feel immediately that in this woman who was there at his feet are all the souls and all the holy sparks that can fix the world until the end of time, until even death is swallowed and ceases to be. V'zeh pirish toiv yigoel. And this is the meaning when he says he will not good, he will redeem you, but rather he will redeem the toiv. Shem yigolech ploini almoini, if my brother ploini almoini will marry you, he will only redeem the angel of life. Lo yigo rak ha-toiv, avamash ha-toiv ma'oid. But what's very good? The angel of death. Lo yigol, that my brother can't redeem. Shezeh shayach rak lebechinas anoichi chay Hashem. Because that belongs to the level of Anoichi that we talked about, where God says, I, myself, have written and given. And all this comes to the house, the royal house of King David, that they have this genius that they inherited from their grandmother, Ruth. We're on page 34. V'hine k'siv, it's written, Batoima Alehen, when Naomi came back to Beis Lechem after spending all those tragic years in Moab, where her husband died and her sons died, they said, oh, Naomi's come back, and she said, Al tikrenu li Naomi, don't call me Naomi. Keren li moro, call me bitter, ki heima shakali moid, because God has made things very bitter for me. Lo hevino Naomi, she didn't know, she didn't understand, ki Rusi b'chines charoises, that Ruth is the charoises that sweetens the morrow. Everybody knows by the Seder, we take the morrow, the bitter herbs, and we dip it in charoises. You should know that this mystery is the deepest, deepest. K'me de'isa b'kisvei ari, like we learn in the Kisvei Ari, shebo lahamtikes amerirus, that the charoises comes to sweeten this bitterness. V'hinei moroir b'gematria moves. Moroir has the gematria of 246, which is the gematria of death, the word. And charoises, the word charoises has the gematria of Ruth chayim, Ruth and life. Ki Naomi lo hegisha sheyesh soid muflik komis b'nishmas reis, because Naomi didn't know that Ruth has all this greatness hidden inside her, ad shenifkishu Ruth and Boaz, until Ruth and Boaz met b'stei ha-koitzrim, in that field where they were harvesting the barley. V'oz yizchilo lehargish shetuchel liyos tikken al yidei zivugam, and then suddenly Naomi began to get an inkling of what's happening, that here these two people together can be the beginning. If we could make the zivug, that we could fix not just, we could fix a life, right, but we could also fix a dying of her sons and of her husband, that there would be a geula, that there would be a redemption. What she didn't know, so Vatoymen Naomi Likalosa, it says that Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu Hashem, blessed is He, Boaz, to God Ashley Ozov Chazdo Yisachayim Samesim, that He hasn't abandoned His kindness to the living and to the dead. Ulam Shetuchel Liyos Tikken Lemisa Bechlal, but that Ruth would be able to fix dying altogether. That Lo Hevina, that wasn't given to Naomi. She didn't really understand that. But Ruth herself did know that she contains the secret, the mystery of life and death. And she understood that charoises and moror, the secrets of the bitterness and the sweetening, which are the secret of life and death. He shedavke ali de leisas hamora. In how do you make the mora sweet? You have to chew it. You have to keep chewing it. Utiimas tamoy, and you know your saliva has to mix with these enzymes that come out of the bitter herb. And then when you've chewed it enough, efshelavilam sikas hanimtzboy, it actually turns sweet in your mouth. Kidisubiksovim, as we learn in the writings of the Ari. Because the Gemara says that the charoises that we make at the Seder plate, this is in memory of the clay with which we had to make the bricks. And as we were learning in previous Mishnayos, in the first perek in the 10th Mishnah, that clay, we learned that refesh v'tit, that clay and mud, they are thrown up from the water out of which the fire has gone. Haine hiskaris k'meshipirashno le'el. When we allow the passion to leach and leak out of our desires, then what we are left with is the ice and the mud and the clay. Shemashikosev etzel Adam Arishin. We were learning there that when it says about Adam vayigoresh, that God expelled him, that the word Gerush is like divorce, right? God divorced Adam from the Garden of Eden. That there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that the wicked are like the sea that throws up waves, and then these waves, it says vayigrishu meim of refesh v'tit, they expel mud and clay from the sea. Ki grushes Adam arishin, because the expulsion of Adam from the Garden of Eden, also refesh v'tit, it threw up mud and clay, k'medi'isa b'gemara, like we learn in the Gemara, b'medrash, u'b'sforim, in the Holy Writings, sh'odnam arishin yoshev b'na'at choytmoy, that for 130 years, Adam sat up to his nose in the river. Sh'pirish mechava, that he separated himself from his wife, from Chava, v'hoilid ruchim v'lilin, and he gave birth to demons and goblins, b'chinas refesh v'tit, which are represented by, you know, the sea kicking up these stones of mud and clay. Shebo loy, why? Because shebo ala etavis be'itzvoy, because the desire came to him in his depression, ubat slusoy, in his procrastination. Shadabli simcha kamuvin, he's living without joy, he's living without chav, he's living without intimacy, and he's living without passion, because all the heat has gone out of him. Charoises bo mina tapuchim, and the charoises comes from mainly the chief ingredient is apples, k'modat omet tachas tapuach, as we say, beneath the apple tree I aroused you. Kal tapuchi kadishin, the field of holy apples. V'davke al yedei Amram, as we were saying last week, and it's only through Amram who marries Yocheved again, tachas tapuach, beneath the apple tree, b'cheshik God, with this tremendous desire that we talked about last week, that the women brought mirrors, and the husbands looked into the mirrors and you know, with seeing themselves mirrored in each other's eyes and in the mirror as a single unit, and so on. This was the fixing. Shehich says, Grushose Davke, and Amram was remarrying Yocheved after having divorced her, which is again another mirroring of Adam and Chava. V'tikim b'chines v'yigrushu meim avresh v'shutit, so he fixes the throwing up of the mud and clay. B'chines so'atzus v'akriris shubo, the depression and sadness that came from being divorced and expelled by God from the Garden of Eden. V'zois b'chinas Rus. This is the level at which Ruth is operating. She'amro, she said, Ki ashatechi eilech, where you go, I go. U'bashatolini olin, and where you rest, where you sleep overnight, I will stay overnight. Ameich ami, your people are my people. V'likayech elikoy, and your God is my God. Ba'ashatomusi omus, where you die, I will die. V'shame kober, and there I will be buried. Koyasa shemli, so God will do to me. V'cho Yosef, and so he will gather me. Ki amovis yafrid beini u'beinech, because only death will separate us. That's what Ruth said to Naomi. If you look, you will see that there are five levels in which she includes herself with her mother-in-law. She says, Telchi Elech, where you go, I will go. That's one level. Tolini Olin, where you sleep, I will sleep. Another level. Amech Ami, your people are my people. Third level. Velikai Chelekoi, and your God is my God. And then Tomusi Omus, where you die, I will die. That's all what Naomi could understand, right? Avalemalemuzu, but there's a level higher. Mistorim, there where it's hidden, Shamay Medes Rus Levada, there only Ruth can reach. Only Ruth alone. Bechinas Visham Ekober, there I will be buried. Koyasa Shemli Vechoyosef, Ki Amoves Yafrit Beinio Beinech, because death separates us, she says to her mother-in-law, because you are still in the paradigm of life and death, and I know that within me there's another level where there is no such thing as life and death. And what is this? This is Ruth who remains in that state of simcha, of dveikus, of communion and union and contemplation of God, even in her death. And so Ruth reaches that level where she is, so to speak, the mistress of life and death. So we could go back and read the footnotes, but let's move on. Let's learn the Mishnah, and perhaps if we have time, we can come back and do some of the footnotes from the preface. Mishnah 8. Himlich ois Dalet. He enthroned the letter Dalet. V'kosha loy keser, and tied it a crown with sarfon. Zem ze, combining one of them with the other, v'tzarboy, and formed with it Ma'adim b'Oilam, Mars in Oilam, Urevi b'Shabbos b'Shona, and Wednesday in the year, v'ein smoy b'Nefesh, and the left eye in Nefesh. So, note 63, Himlich ois Dalet, enthroned the letter Dalet. This is the pathway between the spheres of Bina and Gevura. This is this where Ruth is situated. She's the one who gets up in the middle of the night and provides for her family. And even though there is clear writing from the Ari that to say that not so, that Ruth does not occupy that particular place on the spheres. Ein Likutei Torah, v'zeh l'sheni. We learn in the Likutei Torah from the Ari, he says, Kvar da'ticha, I already taught you, ki echot hi Ruth, u'beis hoyenama, that there were two very special women who were trapped among the nations of the world. One was Ruth, and one was Naama, who later married King Solomon. V'heim b'soid bino u'malchus, and they represent the two spheres of Bina and Malchus. Va'inyan ki kol dovah shebiklipa, and this is how the Ari explains how they came to be where they were. Kol dovah shebiklipa kishetiporid min hakedusha moishach imoy nitzotze kedusha. Wherever you have something unholy, when it leaves, when you separate it from the holiness, it takes with it two sparks of holiness. It's like saying, if you peel an orange, something of the orange has to go with. You can't really separate the peel from the orange, right? It's a really a rough sort of comparison. But on a level of Kedusha, nothing can exist in the world unless God is empowering it, right? Nothing can exist in the world without the divine intimately connected with it. There's no such thing. It's impossible. So even the worst, the ugliest, even the most dire and disgusting has within it some holiness, right? Otherwise it wouldn't be able to exist. Ukeshenifred Loit me Avraham, when Loit and Avraham parted, as Hoitzi beis tipin and etzoitzi min hakedusha, then Loit took with him two sparks of holiness that belong to the holiness and the sweetness of Avraham. Echod neged Malchus, Behirus. One spark corresponds to the sphere of Malchus, and that was Ruth. And Beis min HaBina, and the second one is connected to the sphere of Bina, Binamo Ammonis, and she's Namo, the Ammonite woman, who later marries Shlomit. Omnom Mirus Yotza Oivet V'Dovit, from Ruth comes Oivet and Dovit. V'chol Shodesh Amunus HaMelucha, and the whole root and branch of our faith in the royal house at Mashiach, until Mashiach comes, Masha'en Kein B'Namo, which we don't find that with Naamah. So according to the Ari, Ruth is associated with Malchus and Naamah with Bina. Va'inin kilio is Naamah min Abina lahoya koyach leloid lidovek sham harba. So because Naamah is associated with Bina, so she's Naamah is not as great as Ruth, because frankly, Loit don't know nothing from Bina. Liyaz ma'alma diskasi, because Bina is such a high level, it's the hidden world. Ach mirus shi malchus, but Ruth, who represents Malchus, sham hoya koyach liklipa lahoitzi kol oisen, it says, there in Malchus, Loit did have some knowledge, and he had some awareness, and he had a grasp of what was going on, and so then, when he leaves Avraham, he takes with him this mass of Kedusha that feeds all these holy souls that are inside him. V'chol shorish ha-godel ahu, and all that greatness. V'adarab, liyo is bina mokim ne'alem, but because bina is such a hidden place, le'nechaz bok me'brusa, Loit isn't able to get. So, how does it manifest? Shlomi used to say that Loit had one daughter. You know, can you imagine what it was like to live in the house of Avraham and Sarah, right? To live a lifetime with Avraham and Sarah, right? Loit didn't get anything. Nothing. He could walk away when Avraham said, you know, we're so rich, we have such big flocks, you and I, like, we're fighting with each other, why don't we, so you tell me where you go, I'll go the other direction. Where does Loit go? He goes to Sodom. Right? After spending a lifetime with Avraham, Loit could just walk away and go to Sodom, right? So Loit learned nothing. So when we talk about the Kedusha and then the pulling away the klipa and then it takes two spots, what are we talking about? Loit had a daughter. She was the Rosh Hashiva. Huh? And she got killed. She was killed because she was kind. And she was staked out on the roof and the ants ate her and so on. So the two other sisters, they tried to bring back their sister's neshama in this levirate marriage with their father and so on. So it was really the holiness of Avraham, the two sparks of greatness, they were in this girl, right? And in her soul. And then she was killed, and so Loit's daughters try and bring back, in like a yibum, a levirate marriage sort of thing, they try and bring back their dead sister, and they bring down these two boys, one called Ammon, one called Moav. One is the ancestor of Ruth, And Ammon is the ancestor of Naamah. Im kol zeh, nevertheless, though the Ari says what he says, nerali shirus koicha b'nesivzu, I say that Ruth, her mission, her situation, is here on this pathway between Bina and Gevura. D'chsiv etzla, it says by Ruth, v'rus dovka bo. Ruth has this koyach of dveikus, ba, in her, the hay, not just the hay, you know, in the yud kei vav kei, in the name of God that's written yud kei vav kei, we say that yud is chachma, hay is bina, vav are the six sephiris in the middle, and the hay, the final hay, is malchus. So, Ruth dovka ba, Ruth cleaves to the hay, which is the first hay, also which is bina, as well as the second hay, which is Malchus. And I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Shloime Zoruin in Gan Eden, Kisha Amra Boyaz, when Ruth said to Boyaz in the middle of the night, she said, Onoichi Rus Amasecho, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Forastu Knefecho Amasecho, and please spread your wings over your maidservant, Ki Goyel Atzu, because you are the Redeemer. At that moment, Ruth brought back to Boaz the talis that Tamar had taken from Yehuda. When Yehuda wanted to sleep with Tamar, and she said, "What will you pay me?" He said, "I don't have any money on me." He said, "Well, what can I give you as a pledge?" And she said, "Chisam chum psilecho, give me a talis and tefillin." So the women in the house of Mashiach handed down this talis and tefillin, and Naomi had it, and she gave it to Ruth. She says to Boaz, "Please spread your talis over me. I bring you back the talis of Mashiach." And Shlomi used to say, but the tefillin of Mashiach, she didn't give back that. Only Mashiach's mother is going to give Mashiach's father. This is the source of the minhag, that the kala sends a talis to the chusin. And the secret of the left-hand side of the tree deals with the future. Last we were saying that Yocheved and the sun deals with the past, healing the past. The left side of the tree deals with the future, and that is the level of Mashiach, who is in the future. Note 64: Madim be'olam, Mars in the world, who had mimus meramis likvura, the redness of the planet is hints at gevura. L'chein yayin v'dam heim b'soid agvurus, and that's why blood and wine are connected to the sphere of gevura. V'chein isa b'sefer me'ah shiloyach, and so we learn in the me'ah shiloyach in the parash of Emor Koyanim, God says to Moshe, tell Aaron and the Koyanim they mustn't be involved with death and funerals and cemeteries and so on, unless it's of their immediate relatives. Ki isa b'medrash tanchuma, because we learn in the medrash, Moshe le'melech sh'omel le'tabach shaloi, the king said to his chief butcher, b'bakoshim u'chosh le'i tiris p'nei mes, I don't want you to go to funerals, I don't want you to go to wakes, I don't want you to have anything to do with death. Why? Sh'lei t'tame paltrin sh'ni, because I don't want you to pollute my palace. Ki tabach hu'a isha mamuna ala chunas simcha le'melech, because the butcher is the one who makes the parties. Right? So the king is saying to him, you make my party, you make my joy, stay away from any sadness. So the king says, since your job is to deal with my joy, I don't want you to cause sadness. Because looking at dead bodies is the opposite. So both joy and death are associated with gevura. This is one of the things that people don't really get, you know, is that gevura isn't just about withholding and so on. It's also about laughter. And redness isn't all about blood, but it's also about wine. And finally, Revi b'Shabbos b'Shona, Wednesday in the week, as in Shona. Tchilas Gevuras, Wednesday is the beginning of the days of fear of gevura. Shiyom Revi miskarev leShabbos Abba, because now Shabbos is in the future. Beim Shorish kalapuchodim, and future is the source of all our fears. K'moshes banu kamapomim, as we've explained many times previously. Ula osid, but in the future, as yimolei schoik punu, we say then our mouths will be filled with laughter, because it's the flip side of fear. Ki agvuras hen hen aschoik, hen hen apachad. They are the joy, and they are also the fear.